Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 6, The Demigods and Demons Declare a Truce, Text Number 39. Avaropya Girim Skandat Suparna Patatam Varnaha. Yayan Jatanta Usrija Harina Sa Visarjitaha Avaropya. Unloading Girim, the mountain, Skandat, from his shoulder, Suparnaha, Garuda, Patatam, of all the birds, Varnaha, the biggest or most powerful, Yayao, went, Jala Antak, Jala Ante, where the water is, Visrija, placing Harina by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Saha,
he,
Garuda, Visarjitaha, discharged from that place. Translation appropriate by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, Garuda, the chief of birds, unloaded Mandara Mountain from his shoulder and brought it near the water. Then he was asked by the Lord to leave that place, and he left. Purport. Garuda was asked by the Lord to leave that place because the snake Vasuki was used as the rope for churning, could not go there in the presence of Garuda. Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, is not a vegetarian. He's not even a vegan. Just see. He eats big snakes. Vasuki, being a big snake, would be natural food for Garuda, the chief of birds. Lord Vishnu therefore asked Garuda to leave so that Vasuki could be brought to churn the ocean with Mandara Mountain, which was used as the churning rod. These are the wonderful arrangements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing takes place by accident. Carrying Mandara Mountain on the back of a bird and putting it in the right position might be difficult for anyone, whether demigod or demon. But for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is possible, as shown by this pastime. The Lord had no difficulty lifting the mountain with one hand, and Garuda, his carrier, carried all the demons and the demigods together by the grace of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is known as Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic power, because of his omnipotence. If he likes, he can make anything lighter than cotton or heavier than the universe. Those who do not believe in the activities of the Lord cannot explain how things happen. Using words like accident, they take shelter of ideas that are unbelievable. Nothing is accidental. Everything is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord Himself confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Mayadakshena prakrite siyate sucharacharam. Whatever actions and reactions occur within the cosmic manifestation all take place under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, because the demons do not understand the potency of the Lord, when wonderful things are done, the demons think they are accidental. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 8th canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Demigods and Demons Declare a Truce. Thereafter, Garuda, the chief of the birds, unloaded Mandara Mountain from his shoulder and brought it near the water. Then he was asked by the Lord to leave the place and left. And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Ukramantam sitim vapi, punjana vagunandvita, vimuro nanu pashanti, pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body, or what kind of body enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. Itanto yoginas chayanam, pashantyatmaninas avashitaha, itanto yakritatmano naiva pashanti chetasa. The endeavoring transcendentalist who has actually situated in self-realization can see all this clearly. Others, although they may try, cannot see what's actually taking place. Although we may imagine that we're experiencing reality, but we're only experiencing our personal reality, which depends upon the particular modes of nature that we're conducted by. This body, Krishna says, Satvam Rajas Samayiti Guna Prakriti Sambhava Ivananti Mahabaho Dehe Dehinam Avyam. The material body consists of three modes: goodness, passion, ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with those modes, he becomes conditioned by them. So the thing that's most dear to us, this body, is just a combination of the three modes. And according to whatever combination we have, that's our experience in this world. Now, in conditioned life, the experience is rather limited. And rather, after some time, punak punas charvita charvananam, it's rather dull. And therefore we think reality is rather dull. In order to make reality more interesting in entertainment, then we have illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and killing animals and eating them. But actually reality is not dull, it's ecstatic. But being covered by the modes of nature, our consciousness has become dull. Ignorance. It's become very dull, and therefore we're experiencing reality as being dull. But actually it's we who are dull. Due to the fact that our consciousness is focused on something which is inert and unconscious and has no real experience, there's no real flavor to the material nature as compared to the actual flavor. What we taste is flavor in the material world or is excitement, whatever. It's mostly a mental concoction. Of course, there are tastes because Krishna has endowed his Brahman energy with varieties of taste. But this taste is not spiritual taste. It's varieties of a reflective taste, material taste. And therefore, even our so-called enjoyment in the material world, it is a reflection of the actual taste, of the actual enjoyment in the spiritual world. But being proud, because that's the only thing the conditioned soul actually possesses, is being proud of this false ego. The living entity is actually in a miserable state, completely unaware of reality. Or maybe human beings, some aware of reality, but not very much. Suffering all the threefold miseries, the fourfold miseries, and proud of how well he's doing. And to prove it, he has so many designations. So many titles, so many designations, and therefore he thinks he's actually ahead. And the more he tries to get ahead, the more he goes behind. And along with these, as Krishna says, Dumena Vriyate Vanira, Itar Darsho Mulena Cha, Itobina Avrita Garbas, Tata Tenatam Avritam. Just like fire is covered by smoke, or the embryo is covered by the womb, or the mirror is covered by dust, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of this lust. Avritam Gyena Etena, Gyane no Nityavarina, Kama Rupena Kuntia Dusprena Analena Cha. Thus the man's pure consciousness, living entity's pure consciousness, is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So we're not perceiving reality, we're perceiving our conditioned experience due to our past desires. We've gotten a particular body with a particular mindset, and that's given us a particular conception of life, and due to that conception of life, we're working in the material world, fulfilling those conceptions, and actually simply entangling ourselves. So one has to first of all become namanteva, become submissive. Give up this idea that we actually know reality. Because we do know reality, therefore we're able to walk out of this room and not bang into the walls. And we're proud of how agile we are. So we do have some experience of what's there and what's not there. Of course, if you were a ghost, you could go right through the walls. But right now we're not ghosts, so at least we have this idea that I shouldn't try and walk through the walls. But that's not the perfection of knowledge. That's simply a less ignorance than other people have. Therefore, one should understand that we've been defeated by ignorance, and we've been put into material existence, and our consciousness is cloudy because we're in contact with a cloudy material mind. And therefore, we don't perceive reality. But, of course, we know that if we can understand that, then we can remain detached from what's going on. Detached from what's going on doesn't mean we ignore what's going on. It means we don't identify ourselves with it. How does that go? Sarabhutani Kuntiya? No, that's all right. Sarvakaramani Manasa, Sanyasyaste Sukhamvasi, Naiva Dvare Pare Dehi, Naiva Korvana Karyan. The solution is Sarvakaramani Manasa, Sanyasyaste. So, to give up this idea that this is actually happening to me, I'm experiencing it, as long as I'm identified with this body, as long as my consciousness is focused on this body, we'll have material experience. But that doesn't mean it's happening to me. And therefore, whatever is happening, sarva karmani manasa, sanyasyaste. So one should give up, within the mind, renounce all these activities. The results of them especially, sarva karmani manasa, sanyasyaste sukham vasi. Then he can live happily, vasi, in this place called the material body. Naiva dvare pare dehi, naiva dvara, nine gates, two eyes, the mouth, the nostril, the ears, the genitals, the anus. These are the gates of the body, neither working nor causing work to be done. So, as long as we're attached, what's going to happen? We know what's going to happen. We're going to have to leave this body very shortly. I can guarantee you. And if I'm wrong, you can get your money back. We know it, and everything we're doing, consciously or unconsciously, is to either slow the process down or try to prevent it, the inevitable. And therefore we're wasting our time. Not that we shouldn't try and keep the body healthy so we can perform service, but we shouldn't simply think, now I'm actually protecting myself from death. Now I'm going to live forever here. Hiranyakashipu couldn't do it, and we're not quite up to his standard. We can't even fast without disturbance for one day. He did it for 120 years of the demigods. If a spider comes and bites us, we become very disturbed. His ants and other moths and other insects ate his whole body. And he couldn't become immortal, what to speak of ourselves. Now, Since we're focused all our attention on becoming immortal in this world, not accepting this, we have to leave this body. And what is our attempt to become immortal? It's become the center of attention in this universe, to take Krishna's place. Everyone came here to imitate Krishna. Either Krishna or Radharani, whatever, same thing. So the material world is based upon imitation. Unfortunately, since Krishna has an eternal body full of bliss and knowledge, and we have a temporary body full of ignorance and pain, we're doing quite a bad job of imitating Krishna. But due to our false ego, due to ignorance, we actually believe we're making progress, that the scientists are going to help us make progress. Now they want to make us into half humans and half machines. And eventually, why humans? Machines are much better. Humans are just a burden on the earth. Machines can do a much better job. And therefore they can't see. Pashanapi na pashati. The wonders that are going on, they look at the sky and they see the sun traveling. They think it's just a mass of fire put there by accident. They can't perceive that actually it's a wonderful arrangement by the Supreme Person to give us heat and light throughout the universe. Central heating. Central lighting. They can't see the most obvious things, that our body is changing, but we're not changing. So that's why when we hear this philosophy, we go to sleep. It's boring. Oh, I'm eternal, big deal. Something more interesting. Yeah, Krishna was in the bush. Wow, finally. Something of interest. I can relate to that. So when we hear the philosophy that we're eternal, we fall asleep. When we hear about some politician winning an election or some person hitting a little ball into a hole, we become ecstatic. It's like unbelievable news. We can't believe they actually did it. The fact that anyone is able to create a universe, create the creator of the universe from his abdomen, who sits on a gigantic lotus flower. Oh, this is ridiculous. Not very interesting. The fact that everything came out of nothing. Oh, this is really science. I'll go to university and study for 20 years how everything came out of nothing. Get my PhD for nothing. Therefore, at least, even if we can't understand we're not this body, even if we can't understand how Krishna is controlling everything in this universe, at least we should understand we're completely in ignorance. We don't know what's going on. Nor do all these other authorities throughout the whole universe who are claiming they know everything. And yet, because they're in ignorance, as it says, what is the verse for those who are in ignorance? Pravitim cha, nivritim cha. No, that's a different thing. That maybe it is. Pravitim cha, nivritim cha, jananavidya asra. That's certainly ignorant. That's demoniac. Adharmam dharma itiya manite tamasavritaha sarvatam viparitam cha buddhisaparta tamasi. They say that what is religion, they say is not religion. And what is actually religion, they say is not religion. And what is actually not religion, that's what they claim is religion. And therefore, they're always striving in the wrong direction. They come up with some medicine, it kills everyone, and they claim it's working. It shows how effective it is. It's a powerful medicine. And people are so foolish, they actually think, well, this is One and one is really three. I guess my teacher got it wrong. Because their intelligence has been robbed by ignorance, and therefore they can't conceive of anything what they're already experiencing. They resent the fact that they're eternal. They resent the fact that they can live eternally blissful and full of knowledge, because they're so attached to their temporary body, which is suffering. They think there's nothing better in the whole universe, the whole creation. Since time immemorial, there's nothing better than my present body. And I should try to stay here forever, because this is the goal of the universe. This is what I've been waiting for, is to get this body. And I love everything about it. Even I pass stool, everyone is running, but I love the smell. Everything about it is glorious. So this is the gift of the illusory energy, that even the worm in stool, suffering like anything, thinks he's having a great time. And we ourselves are a little bit better, but we're also covered by this ignorance. So, the ultimate purport is that once you learn how to become free from suffering by giving up our anxiety over suffering, our anxiety over all the suffering we had in the past, how we were unfairly treated by the illusory energy. I'm a good person, and they put me in so many horrible situations in the past. Just like people want to have this regression. They want to go back and find out who they are. They don't want to find out they were a frog. They go to the expert psychiatrist. He regresses them. And can you say something about what you're experiencing? You go, what's happening? Oh, this black snake. I can't believe it. Get him away from me. What happened? Well, I'm in his stomach now. My God, this is... Get me out of here. They won't imagine they were a princess in some fairy tale. Or a prince. They don't realize they were a rat in their last lifetime. And they're not much better now. They're suffering in the past, they're suffering in the present, and I can guarantee you everyone in this universe is going to suffer in the future. So as long as we're attached to this material conception of life, as long as we're hoping against hope, as long as we're trying to make plans for a better future in material existence, then we're going to be denied the actual opportunity to focus our attention on Krishna. Then we'll be going this way, that way, to avoid the problems of life and never avoiding them and actually not going to actually the real goal of life, which is to become Krishna conscious. And if we become Krishna conscious, we have to at least recognize that there's someone much greater than anyone here. All these heroes, all these heroines, even mythology, whatever else, they're not comparable to Krishna. Who else could be controlling the universe, past, present, and future? Who could be greater than that? What, not only one, this tiny little universe, all the universes, all the spiritual world. So Krishna doesn't Itasya karyam karanam chavidite, itatsamascha dikastra jushite, parashya shaktir vividaiva shuyite, Svabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. That in this world, Krishna, there's no one equal to Krishna, nor is anyone greater than Krishna. Everyone is inferior to Krishna, and by his energies, Parashya Shakti Vividaiva Shruyate, Svabhavaki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. By his energies, everything is happening. Krishna has arranged his energies perfectly. He doesn't have to interfere, but he's the one who arranged them. He could interfere if he wanted to, but he's arranged them, therefore they all work exactly according to his purpose, without his endeavoring to do anything. So unless we can accept that, then we'll never appreciate Krishna. And if we don't appreciate Krishna in truth, then we can't get out of our material existence, and therefore we have to come back to repeated birth and death. Ashvadadana Purusha, Dharmasyasya Prantapa, Aprapimam Nivartante, Mityu Samsara Vardhane. If we don't accept Krishna's inconceivable energies, if we think ourselves, you know, somehow or another, we can be the center of the universe, and we can avoid the laws of nature, we can do something outside of Krishna's will, then the result is we have to simply come back to birth and death and try again to conquer Krishna by material means and be defeated again by ignorance again and again and again and never be able to understand how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful his creations are. We simply go around thinking we're experiencing great things, painting flowers on a piece of canvas, looking at the flower, selling it for $100,000, €100,000, the flower, and everyone looking at the flower, oh, what a great flower you painted. The real flower, they can't, which has smell and produces other flowers, etc. They're not interested. They're interested in the painting of the flower. The real flower, they pick it, they throw it away, it's useless. But the painting of the flower, they want to spend hundreds and thousands of euros for. So the real reality of this world, they're not interested in. The wonderful reality, they're interested in the reflection and making a better reflection. And therefore they're called mudhas, fools. Mrityu samsara varmani. And therefore they have to come back to repeated birth and death, chewing the chewed and not going anywhere, just wasting their time. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Maharaj. When we had in the temple, we had one time this regression in some previous lives or something, and I invited my father, and I thought this would be something we will experience together. It was basically we were almost like
who was doing the regression?
Kajit Alinasha Mataji. Yes, Prema Manjari.
Yes,
but it was the class was full of people, and maybe if we did it on many people there, so we just, I was watching my father, he was looking at me and nothing happened, it's just almost like smiling to each other, But not that other people I don't know, but others, maybe other did.
Anyone hop something around afterwards?
Even before Bhakti Yoga, I read these books of this Russian guy, Lazaro, he's like healing people about this karmic diagnostics or something, and many people, they write that they are healed of cancer and some racism.
Fantastic.
Or something.
So they're not going to die now.
Yes, that's at the end I saw that he's helping, but what's the point, because they will be born again but still, is there something on this, even some devotees do this karmic diagnostics or is...
Devotees do all kinds of crazy things, aspiring devotees at least. Real devotees don't do these things. Aspiring devotees do all kinds of things. Is there any benefit? No, even you go back and you get regressed. Generally speaking, all the aggressions you hear, they're all in human bodies. No one starts screaming, I'm a fly, don't hit me. No, and then they come back and they live life as if there were, nothing happened. That's the illusory energy just bewilders them. They forget that they're actually, they don't really take advantage. Maybe even some insight that they're eternal. I mean, the Bhagavad Gita verse 2:13, Deinos Minita Dehe, is much more powerful than any regression. The fact that our body's changing, but we're not changing. But we forget immediately due to the power of the illusory energy. We go on as if everything's normal. It's like someone's in an elevator and suddenly it starts falling without any, you can't stop it, and then everyone's praying, oh God, save me, save me. And suddenly the elevator stops and you look at your watch, it's time for dinner. What's on the, on the television? It's the power of the illusory energy. It helps us forget.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. One can ask why there are so few transcendentalists enjoying the bliss of eternal life. Many people can experience this ecstatic realization for a short while, but why so few yogis or transcendentalists who are steeped in that realization?
Who said there are a few? There's unlimited numbers
that we can see.
What can you see? We can't see what's actually going on. Why? Because when you go to the prison, as we know, you probably find criminals. So we're in the prison right now. But most of the people are not in prison. They're free citizens in the spiritual world. So in the prison, people get chastised. So that's the business here. We're being chastised to be rectified. And when we get rectified, we go back to the spiritual world. The only thing left is the prisoners. The reformed people who are reformed in the prison, they don't stay in the prison. They're set free. And only the prisoners remain. So if you look in a prison, you find a lot of prisoners. That's normal. Anything else? Yes.
Thanks.
Since I've been gone, the Avaduta Roy has disappeared. No more questions. Okay. What's that?
There is one from one
Mataji. Okay. Well, he's transformed. Okay.
Maharaj, you were speaking, we are actual experience of our own worlds created by modes. So mostly we think we see reality, but we see our own reality according to...
Well, we could say not our reality, it's a purpose-created reality for us. It's a reality created for
us. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. And that's my question is, but there are interactions, there is language, there are consequences of our actions, our choices for others. So there is some common ground.
Don't think that you can, as it says, nakartri vam nakarmani.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, choices. I think choice. We make choices, and
that's not the verse. The Katriyam the Karmani Lokas Yas Rijati Prabhu, the Karma Pala Samyogam Svabhavasti Purvartite. Can you give me the translation of it?
This is from 18th chapter?
No.
Can you?
It's the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
Then I should know just. Can you say it again?
What's that? Soul does not create activities.
Yeah.
Nor does he induce others to act. Mm. Nor does he create the results of activities. All this is created by the three modes of material nature. So?
I'm not objecting, of course, to that. There are choices, and we perceive actions of material nature, which are as a consequence of our choices. So we should learn from that. So we are able to perceive something objective as a precondition for Krishna consciousness.
Generally speaking, people don't learn unless you have some good association. Otherwise, the reactions are not necessarily immediate. We don't necessarily are able to perceive that we're getting the consequences of our activities. Only when we're taught, then we may develop enough perception, enough understanding through knowledge, to be able to understand how we're suffering from the reactions of our past activities.
Yeah, but there is a potential for that. Material nature is made as an objective medium in that sense.
Sometimes, if you take a hammer and hit your finger with it, you probably realize it's because the hammer hit my finger that I feel the pain. But other than that, most of the time we don't see the direct correlation between our past activities and our present experience. Material nature is too complicated for that. Only when we learn with knowledge can we start perceiving that. And the less knowledge we have, the less we perceive it. That's all.
I mean, but there is potential in objective world. There is some objective potential, at least, that we come out of our own interpretation.
Of course, if you hear from the scriptures, Guru Sadhana Shastra, you may be able to understand it. It takes intelligence. Intelligence doesn't come spontaneously. It comes from hearing from the right persons with the right attitude.
Yes.
It's a gift. It's given to us. Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna gives us the intelligence by which we can come back to him to see things. Otherwise, there is some intelligence we can gain by, you know, taking shelter of Krishna for some material reasons, but that intelligence won't lead us probably to understand how the material nature is actually working, how karma works, how reincarnation works, how the Supreme Personality of God is in control. That knowledge is not perceivable for the less intelligent. Naham prakasha sarvasha yogamaya samabrita buddhoyam nabijananti lokoyam ajam avyam. I am never manifest before the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my creative potency, yogamaya. And so the deluded world knows me not, whom unborn and inexhaustible. So the five factors in Bhagavad Gita, one of them is karma. One of them is jiva, Ishvara, Prakriti, Kala, and Karma. So those things are revealed in Bhagavad Gita. If we don't hear from Bhagavad Gita or from someone who's hearing from Krishna, then we won't understand these things properly. We'll misunderstand what time is, what this Ishvara is, what the Supreme Lord is, what the Jiva is, what the Prakriti is, what the material nature is, and what karma is, how things are actually transforming here. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for today's class. And my question is, we understand that there's an overwhelming need to give this knowledge, to spread Krishna consciousness, because people are suffering and then leaders are leading people in the wrong direction, so there's more and more suffering and more entanglement. So in the face of all this, how can we help people become Krishna conscious? They don't even want to hear about God.
Well, you go out on the street and chant Hare Krishna. They'll actually get Krishna's and Srimati Radharani's direct association. Not everyone's going to appreciate it equally, but there are some people who are innocent. And if we present in the right way to the right people, then we'll get a result.
Thank you.
Questions from Valabi Knappen. Hare Krishna Maharaj, question. What is the difference between detachment of the result of work and detachment of work itself, or not working nor causing work to be done?
Well, Arjuna didn't want to fight because he didn't want to get the result, killing his relatives. So that's renouncing the work. But he had a duty because he was a kshatriya to fight, and fight accordingly, appropriately, even killing his relatives. But he wasn't, Krishna said, you're not entitled to the results of the work. So even he got the kingdom, or his brother got the kingdom, it wasn't his kingdom, it still belonged to Krishna. He was still obliged to use it according to Krishna's desire. It's not that he won something, now he's independent. He fought for Krishna, and when he, whatever happened, whether he went to the heavenly planets or he gained the kingdom, it didn't make any difference. The important thing is whatever the result, he worked for Krishna, therefore he was Krishna conscious, and whatever the results would be, he'd still be Krishna conscious. Because he wasn't working for the results of the work, he was working for Krishna. Therefore the result was that he was always Krishna conscious. So that's our goal, is to be always Krishna conscious, not to get some results in the material world. Anything else? Hola, Grantharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.